Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tejya Sambhavata Sutram. Mahan Sutrena Samyutta. Tato Vikurvato Jato. Yo Ahamkaro Vinohana. Tejya, from those modes, Samabhavat, arose. Sutram, the first transformation of nature, endowed with the potency of activity. Mahan, primeval nature, endowed with the potency of knowledge. Sutrena, with this. Sutra Tattva, Samyutta, conjoined. Tata, from the Mahat. Vikurvata, transforming. Jata, was generated. Ya, which? Ahamkara, false ego. Vinohana, cause of bewilderment. Translation. From these modes arose the primeval sutra, along with the Mahatattva. By the transformation of the Mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of the living entity's bewilderment. Translation responsibly. From these modes arose the primeval sutra, along with the Mahatattva. By the transformation of the Mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of the living entity's bewilderment, purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, sutra is the first transformation of the material nature that manifests the potency of activity and is accompanied by the Mahatattva, which is endowed with the potency of knowledge. In the material world, one's real knowledge is covered by fruitive activities and mental speculation. As one's devotional service to the Lord slackens, these two tendencies grow automatically, just as the distinguishing of a light automatically brings an increase in darkness. Amagyanti miranda syaganandjana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimati vridayananda goswami niti namine nama om vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami niti namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevasesi Shunyavadi Pashtachare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section is all about the futility of life without God, and this one point that was mentioned in the purport here. Once devotional service to the Lord slackens, one's real knowledge is covered by these two points that are mentioned here, the fruit of activities. Fruit of activities is basically selfishness, self-centeredness, and mental speculation, justifying one's selfishness. Argument as to why to be in this material world is the right thing to do. Mental speculation. So this physical universe is called the Mahatattva. It's actually a virtual reality that is real, but it's temporary. You know, at the moment there's such a big deal about virtual realities, and you go online and you can have your own avatar existence. So actually our position in this material world is something similar to a virtual reality. It's said in the Shastras, Brahman Satyam Jagat Mitya, pure consciousness is the only reality. And we're actually trapped in a physical world, which is a virtual reality, which is a reality, but it's not a reality. The marginal living entity, which are us, are entities in Vaikuntha or Goloka, can project. Now, we can project a virtual hologram or a version of ourselves, imaginary selves, and that imaginary self is known as Nityabuddha, ignorant personality. And that Nityabuddha consciousness presents itself to this material universe, wants to experience separate from Krishna. So this Nityabuddha consciousness is a secondary self. The real self remains within the spiritual realm. And the living entity that is in this marginal, in this material energy, in this Mahatattva, captured in this Mahatattva, is a projection, is a counterfeit projection of who we really are. So, and it enables the living entity to enter into this Mahatattva. This Mahatattva is like a prison house. It's not that all living entities want to come to this material world. It is just that some have a desire to enjoy for themselves, and a small fraction slowly want to experience an existence without Krishna. So in the spiritual world, the living entities are totally committed in serving Krishna. But there are some, like us, all of us here, who wanted to enjoy outside of Krishna. So this is that selfishness enters in, into our consciousness, wanting to enjoy selfishness. Our real position is one of Nityasiddha, is eternally liberated. And that Nityasiddha body, that personality that is really us, never leaves Goloka Vrindavan, never leaves the spiritual world. It's always there. In the Mahatattva, the real reality is experienced. What we are experiencing here in this material world is a very real thing, but it's temporary. It doesn't last forever. And this secondary consciousness, this Nityabuddha consciousness, tries to fulfill selfish, mistaken desires. It tries to enjoy these selfish, mistaken desires. So the Lord manifests his Mahavishnu form and provides a facility for us to enjoy, try to enjoy in this material world and to fulfill our material desires. And then, as is pointed out in previous verses, all these different things start happening to us. The modes of material nature and so on and so forth. There was a play that we did actually recently. I got a notice from Jaitirtha Charan from New Zealand. And we back in the old days we did this. Some of you may have seen it. We did a play on Hansel and Gretel. And Hansel and Gretel, you know the story of Hansel and Gretel and the Wicked Witch and all that kind of thing. And they come into the forest and go deep into the forest. So one of the early part of it was how the living entity enters into this material world. And we had the Nityasiddha personality wanting to experience without Krishna consciousness, without Krishna. And so he got all these packages. First he got some different overcoats. Has anybody seen that play at all? No, it's all new. We're actually going to show it eventually on a Saturday feast or something, because it's a really funny show. Korma is in it and Aniruddha is in it. Aniruddha is the wicked witch. Wicked witch called Maya, and he tries to allure us deeper and deeper into this material forest. And Vasushrestha, you know which one, Bhakti? Vasushrestha is the guru, the spiritual master who's trying to direct us back home. And before this Nityasiddha living entity comes down to this material world, the guru is trying to encourage him, please, you know, don't go. It's not a very nice place to go. But we are convinced that we want to try to enjoy without Krishna. And so the living entity gets all these overcoats, a subtle body, gross body, and the coats stink. You know, it's really smelly coat. Was actually, it was a really smelly old coat. I don't know where we got that coat from, some op shop or maybe one of our Sunday feast guests or something at that time. Anyway, it was really smelly. And then we had all these parcels, the modes of material nature and so on and so forth, material senses. And but anyway, so this little living entity enters into this material world. It's full of miseries. So Prabhupada quotes that material creation is the spirit soul dream, and all existence in this world is the dream of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is the spiritual world. But when the spirit soul wants to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's put into this dreamland of material creation. So this is dreamland. You know, we've got dream world up in the Gold Coast. This is, we're all in a dream world. And further, that was from the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada further quotes, everything happening within time, which consists of past, present and future, is merely a dream. This is the secret in understanding all the Vedic literatures. So we have to understand that actually everything that is happening to us is but a dream. It's a very real dream. Prabhupada doesn't say it's illusory, but it's temporary. So Prabhupada states that our eternal, original, perpetual state of being is eternal, Nityasiddha, servant of Krishna, 100% surrendered to Krishna, never falls down. Yet, how is it that we're here in this material world? We can be covered, the Nityasiddha can be covered by desire. It can be covered and can forget, and by one's choice, to imagine our own existence without Krishna. So sometimes we have a hard time trying to understand our present predicament. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in. We're trapped in this mahatattva, this illusory energy. The time factor influences us, dictates our past, our present, our future, and manifests so many different things, and it concocts so many different things, and it causes the reaction of decay and forgetfulness, so many things, lost in a dream. No way we can get out. It's like we're lost completely. And this all happens when we forget the fundamental thing of Krishna consciousness, when we forget Krishna, when we turn our backs to Krishna. So we're foolishly desiring to ignore God, while the eternal spiritual body is really in the spiritual world. So while we're sitting here in this mahatattva, all of us, trying to get back to Krishna, our spiritual body is in the spiritual realm with Krishna. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? We think we're really here, but actually this is just a dream. We are restricted by a secondary dream state and consciousness of reality. So this Nityabhata. And it kept in check by the laws of the Mahatattva, the laws of nature, material creation. So this Nityasiddha is a pure state of reality and we serve Krishna. The Nityabhata is the unnatural, impure state. And it's a transcendental reality and conditioned in the Mahatattva, serving one's selfish interests only. So we're unaware of our real identity. Unaware. And it's just like if we were in a dream. You know, when we have a dream, when we go to sleep at night time, we're laying peacefully in a nice, comfortable bed, and we have this dream that all of a sudden we are the ruler of a majestic empire. You know, we're the king or we're the queen, and we have servants, and we're riding around our realm, and we're enjoying so many things. But our body is still laying there in the bed, not moving. But in our experience, we're moving all over the place. We're travelling all over the universe. So this dream is something similar to what we're experiencing here. This seems incredibly real. When we're having a dream, when we're in the material body and we're having a dream in our bed, we really feel that dream is absolutely real. You know, while we're experiencing that dream state, we completely feel that it's a real experience. And so similarly, the Nityasiddha, or the Svarup body of the living entity, it can be covered like this dream. And that's what we're experiencing. So we enter these material vessels, It was like that play also. All of a sudden, this living entity gets his body of a little boy, and I was that little boy, and they made me up like a big baby in a big crib, you know. And I've got this big dummy, and the little boy becomes more and more enamored by the attention that's been given to his body. So we enter these vessels and we think, gee, you know, so many people, you know. And we see here also when a devotee has a new baby, everybody's, oh, isn't he cute, isn't he gorgeous, isn't she so sweet, look how cute she is. So we were sort of doing that as well, you know. And the little boy, the little baby, thinks, wow, they really think I'm something special. You know, I must be Krishna, you know, I must be really, really important. And you like it. And the false ego tends to really like that. And this is starting the conditioning. This is starting more and more the entanglement in this material web of thinking that we are actually something very, very special. But we can't. And then what happens is we become incredibly trapped in this material world, trapped in the Mahatattva, by our own ego, by our own false ego, by our own selfish desires. Sometimes Krishna gives us some insight, you know, when we're doing our pastimes as devotees. And recently I've had the experience of something which is not exactly the most pleasant thing, but all of you will come at some point in your life that you have to face this reality. My 94-year-old mother is passing away, and so this week a lot of her faculties were taken away from her. And so the family had to come together and we had to look after her. And it's an amazing thing as a devotee to see this slow deterioration of a material body. And each one of us had to look after her, and because she had to have 24-hour care. She couldn't walk anymore and she could barely talk. She had a minor stroke. At one stage she collapsed, and for the whole night she was laying on the hard floor, and then the people that come to clean the house picked her up and, you know, called the ambulance and so on and so forth. Very, very tragic. Very tragic. And this was what the last class was all about as well, about the futility of life without God consciousness. Now, she was a good woman. She is a good woman. And she had some spirituality, but it's fragmental. It's very, very fleeting. It's not really deep. So when this time comes, do you think there's any sort of thought about God or God consciousness? It's all focused on the material body. It's all focused on this false illusion, on this dream. So I was with her for 24 hours and I had to sleep at her house. So I made the best arrangements I could. I kept on having CDs of Srila Prabhupada on and kirtan, and I was chanting. And, you know, I was sitting in her room and there were photos, family photos, of her when she got married. She had her first child. And, you know, she was a very attractive lady, very, you know, pretty. And everything seemed very happy, but the personality that was there, lying in the bed, the personality that I had to take to the toilet, the personality that I had to give medicine to, the personality that I had to lift, was just a fragment of her real personality, the personality that was there in the photos. And the funny thing is that I tried to encourage her to do something spiritual, you know, please say the rosary or something, you know, anything, because her tradition is of a Christian faith. It's so hard to convince a person at that time. It's you become so incredibly engrossed in the bodily conception that there's hardly any chance for God consciousness to come in there at all, because your body is aching so much, you're incapacitated so much, that it's like virtually the last thing to think of. So that's why throughout the Shastras it is said, you know, and this is the sad part of this material world, the very sad part. And she'll have to come back again and experience this again and again and again. you know. And so, as it was mentioned in the previous verse, a life without God consciousness is a futile life. We've made the decision to come to this material world and try to enjoy for ourselves. We now, here in the Krishna consciousness movement, are actually aware that it is a futile life. And we've got to try and get out of this life. We have to break free from this mahatattva, from this material entanglement. How do we do that? How do we do that? Because here it says in this purport here, you know, that as one's devotional service to the Lord slackens, these two tendencies tend to grow automatically. That's the tendencies of selfishness and material attachment. Just as the diminishing light automatically brings an increase in darkness. So how do we actually just really fix our attention on Krishna so we are ready for this time to come? This time when the bodily... And we, you know, a lot of you guys are still very young and you don't have the bodily aches and pains. But believe me, it wasn't that long ago that I was sitting where you're sitting as a young man, and before you know it, the time is gone. That's the same with my mother. She can't realize that she's 94 years old. All of a sudden you start to feel your legs start to pack in. You can't sit cross-legged anymore. You can't do this. You have pains. Mahatma, is it true? So we have to really start being very, very... Bhakti, is it true? Look at her sitting there. And she was the most agile personality, and she was a swimmer and a diver. And so, you know, I mean, material nature takes all these things away. And then it becomes harder and harder and harder to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. And we have to, because it's at that time that we need Krishna the most. So the other thing that was really interesting was that my brothers and sisters, you know, who are also there to help her, had no understanding at all, you know, and were in complete anxiety about every aspect of what was happening to my mother. Because in a sense they saw a mirror of what was going to happen to them. As a devotee we can see this traumatic event happening, but we can sort of understand, well, I'll have Krishna, I'll have my God brothers and sisters to help me. But these people, and I love my brothers and sisters, they had no idea of how to handle this situation. One brother was so perplexed by the whole thing. He was, you know, as I said, we had to have designated times that we stayed with our mother until we could find a respite home for her that has nursing 24-hour care. So each one of us had to look after them. And this was now the turn of my older brother. And he couldn't handle it at all. And at one stage my mother had diarrhea and she passed stool all over the lounge room floor, all over her clothes and everything. And he took her to the toilet, he dropped her in the, you know, she couldn't hold on and she fell in the toilet. And at the end of it he rang me up and he said, I can't handle this, I can't handle this, this is too much for me. And I thought, my friend, this is the material world. It's so sad, you know. So these things were a real conflict. He has to handle this, you know. And so it's sad. All we can do really is pray for these people, you know, our relatives and our friends. And as I've mentioned before, our sadhana also helps those that are close to us to also understand Krishna consciousness. Just like, say, for example, the fact that I was there, that I had the opportunity to chant to her, to hear Srila Prabhupada. And at least that's there, you know. So we have to get out of this trap, you know. We have to get out of this material illusion, this dream, this virtual reality. Because we've been in here for a long, 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 long time. And we now have to get ourselves free from it. We have to wake up from the dream, you know. And we have to encourage as many other people to wake up from the dream. Yeah, that's why Prabhupada was so emphatic. That we have to wake up the rest of mankind about the truth, about what we really are doing here in this material world. Just floundering dead fish, flapping, We have to actually get out of here. Life is meant for serving God. And if we can serve God in this illusory dream, then we're actually making great advancement. Prabhupada said also, while we're still in this material body and we happen to dream in our sleep of Krishna or the Guru, that is actual reality. That is actually the truth. Any other dream, it's all just phantasmagoria. It's just will of the wisp. But if we dream of Krishna and if we dream of the spiritual master and if we dream of the devotees, that's real. So in every way, in our 24-hour a day state, we should try to do as many things to remind us and to serve Krishna. We should chant our rounds, we should meditate so diligently, so fixed, completely committed, you know, because this is going to happen to us and we have to be ready for it. As Prabhupada said so many times, the whole process of devotional service is preparing us to die. I know it sounds a bit morbid, but that is the fact. And it just dawned on me this week. We can gloss it over, you know, your dear sweet little mum, she's always there. She's not going to be there for that much longer. And we have to face the fact that we're not going to be here for that much longer either. And we have to work at really fixing our consciousness so when the time comes, we can actually turn to Krishna. As I said, I've sometimes had the opportunity of actually seeing a devotee who has passed away or who is in the process of passing away. And I'm so enthused to see that if one has put the effort into devotional service over their life, how Krishna reciprocates and makes the arrangements for you to actually have good guidance and direction at that point of time. It's absolutely amazing. And every devotee that I've seen has been enlivened when the time has come to leave their body. So this was a real wake-up call for me this week. And it just confirmed more that personally I have to be more and more dedicated and meditate so deeply on the Lord's holy name and his pastimes so that we become fixed and that we don't sway and that from the path of going back or waking up, not even a point of going back, it's waking up to our real position. So we were, at our home we have our Vaishnava Sangha programs, and this week we had the celebration of our deities, Janmashtami. And the thing that we had at our Vaishnava Sangha programs, we have discussion topics, and we discuss things, different things that come up. And the point that we were discussing last Sunday was in relationship to Janmashtami, that actually Janmashtami should be something that we celebrate every single day. That we welcome Krishna into our lives every single day. That every day is a new connection with Krishna. That Krishna is again born to us. And that we actually, you know, Krishna's pastimes are ever fresh to us. And that we can again serve the Lord like that. There were some really interesting comments and talks that we had at that stage. So we have to reconnect with Krishna every single day and re-pledge our determination to wake up from this illusory energy, to get out of this material energy. And that takes a lot of effort. So we encourage everybody to do that. And as many people as we can possibly connect to this Krishna consciousness movement, the better it'll be in any small way, because there are many philosophies out there and there are many, many different religious paths, but really it's very difficult for people to really get the crux of why they're here. And we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us this information complete, no holds barred, clearly understanding that we are in a complete dreamlike state and that we should wake up from it. That our real destiny is there in the spiritual world and it's just a question of waking up. And we can do it. And so anybody that we get an opportunity to enliven or to wake up That's our mission. You know, because the thing is, the more we teach this philosophy, the more we encourage people to understand that they're not these material bodies and that they're actually trapped in these bodies, that their real existence is one of wonderful serenity and beauty, the more it benefits us. The more we teach, the more it benefits us. And so any opportunity that we get in our daily lives to rekindle or to awaken people to this God consciousness, the better it is for us, and it's also good for them. It was actually interesting. Guru was just mentioning that he was wanting to get some flowers for the deities at Janmashtami or Radhashtami. He mentioned it to me. He said, "I want to mention something to you." And he saw these really beautiful flowers just here in the local, one of the local neighbours. And he thought, gee, it'd be nice if I could offer some of these flowers to the Lord. So he actually went to the neighbour. It's not that we ask everybody to do this, but he's such a gentle soul. He went up to the neighbour and knocked on the door and said, "Hi, hello," you know. And the neighbour came out and said, "Yes, what would you like?" And he said, "Look, it's a very important festival day here at the temple. I'm one of the Hare Krishnas." He had his dhoti and kirtan on. And he said, "I'd like to offer some of the flowers that you have on your bush here to the deities at our temple for the festival." And the lady wanted to know what festival it was. And he said, "You know, it's the birthday of Krishna," and so on and so forth. She said, "Oh, that sounds really interesting. Yes, certainly, you can take some of the flowers." And she said, "Wait a minute, I'll get a scissors for you." So he took some scissors, and she said, "You can just leave the scissors there, but you have to tell me, is it all right if I can come over also to have a look at Krishna?" So this was really amazing, you know. So and then the thing was, he was cutting the flowers, and the next door neighbour, who was an old man, you know, he heard the click, click, click. So he came out and he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm picking some flowers." He said, "Have you got permission?" And he said, "Yeah, the lady said I could pick it because we're having a festival day at the Hare Krishna temple, and she gave me these scissors so I can cut the flowers." And he said, "Oh, very good." He said, "See that bush over there in my yard? There's some really beautiful flowers in that. Do you want to take them for your festival?" So he went over and he moved the rubbish bins for him, and he got everything out of the way for him, and he collected the flowers, and Guru brought the flowers for Krishna. So he had the sense to engage people in devotional service in any way we can. In any way we can. We give them prasadam, we engage them in service, we give them some philosophy. So one of the things that the temple is doing, and we want everybody to be a part of it, is that in late October, actually, if it's approved with Aniruddha, we'll do it on about the 23rd of October, it's a Saturday, we're going to have an open day here for all the neighbours. And we're going to have a garden party. So we're going to have samosas, and we're going to invite all the neighbours who are always too frightened to come in and just check us out. Oh, there's so many Indian people, you know. I didn't know if I thought I had to be Indian to come. I said, no, you can come. So they're going to come, and we want to make them very welcome, and we want to give them all facility and all friendship so that they feel comfortable. And it's these connections in our daily life that will help people even at the time of their death. Be assured that you know that this Krishna consciousness is so potent, so incredibly potent. You have no idea how potent it is. This potency, this connection with other people, when you give them Krishna consciousness at the time of their death, it is that they remember. When they review everything that they've done in their life, "Oh, that Hare Krishna was a nice person. Oh, the deities were so nice. Oh, the Rath Yatra, I saw these beautiful..." That's the thing that they focus on. It is the personal connection, you know. It was interesting, and this is really also a humbling thing for me. This week I got an email from David Cameron. You know David, who's the entertainer that helped us with that Hare Krishna band that we did, the Bhajan band. David's a really nice man, a really sincere person, and he really has a feeling for Krishna consciousness. And when he launched his CD, he asked me to give a talk about meditation and spirituality. And as I've mentioned, it was at this little church, And different people from the entertainment industry came to help launch his CD. And one of the ladies was Marina Pryor. Does anybody know Marina Pryor? You know Phantom of the Opera? You know how Phantom of the Opera was here for a long, long time? She was the lead singer in the Phantom of the Opera. She's a well-known operatic singer. Anyway, she was there and I gave the class and everything, and it was very basic sort of Krishna consciousness, you know. You're not this body and we're all spirit souls and we all worship God, you know, like that. Anyway, I got an email from David this week, and he said that Marina is getting remarried in Noosa next year, and she was wondering, is there any chance that I might be able to come to her wedding and give a talk at her wedding? She was so impressed with the simple talk that I gave about Krishna consciousness that, you know, she wants me to come to her wedding and give a talk at her wedding, you know. Of course, I said, yeah, of course. I thought, beauty, you know, there's more personalities you can talk to and speak about Krishna. So we have to take advantage of every situation that fronts us to be able to take the lead and help a person through this dreamlike situation that they're in, you know, to wake them up. We're the wake-up party, you know. We're here to wake people up. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. What's that for me? The wake-up party? Yeah, Jeev Jago party. Wake up, sleeping souls, wake up. You're in the lap of the witch called Maya. So we have to wake people up. So any opportunity we get, we have got the knowledge, we have got the information, even if it's a small amount. We have to pass it on to other people. It will benefit us and it will benefit the person that we're dealing with. And we won't become enamored by this phantasmagoria, this virtual reality that we're captured in. And eventually, by diligently and really with great strength and conviction, release ourselves from this material illusion and go back home, back to Godhead. There's one other quote that Prabhupada that I wanted to give. Prabhupada says, due to this long period of time, it is sometimes said we are ever conditioned, but the long duration of time becomes very insignificant when one actually wakes up from the material dream and comes to Krishna consciousness. So wake up, sleeping souls, wake up. And we have to be very, very determined in our Krishna consciousness every single day. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new start. Every day we have a conviction that we'll be fixed in our devotional service. I won't sway again. I won't go back to this selfish mentality. And I'll do whatever I can to help whoever I come in contact with. So we actually have to put ourselves out there to wake people up. We can't just hide in the temple. We have to go out there and wake people up. You know, just like your experience with the Sankirtan. You know, one, just being friendly to someone and the person is interested, they could take a book, they go to urban yoga, they come to Jamashtami. It's very, very important just to be out there and waking people up. So we're all agreed we're going to wake a few people up? Mm-hmm. Good. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
If you deliberate on this, by the transformation of nature, our genetic can be part of the group. When you deliberate it more,
from these modes arose the primeval sutra, and the sutra here is described as the first transformation of material nature, along with the mahatattva. By the transformation of the mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of the living entity's bewilderment. So yeah, it's this whole point of thinking that you can enjoy, you know, apart from Krishna. It's just enjoying, you know, it's a selfish mentality. It's just the illusory mentality that there is an existence or an enjoyment without the Lord. So this whole thing has been set up for us to, you know, this whole virtual reality game has been set up by the Lord for us to experience this illusory energy, to try to enjoy separate from Him. You know, and it's an amazing situation, but we're lost in it. And so we have to get out. Any other comments or questions at all? Thanks, Prabhu. I'm I won't be here for rehearsals today for the Bhajan band because we've got some work to do with still just checking out to see if my mother is okay. So, I ask you all also to pray for my mother, and as you know, the devotees are very potent personalities. Just the thought about another person's situation will help that personality greatly. So I thank you all very much. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.